Gamecock fans, it's Thursday, August 27th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing well this week. Counting them down, folks, counting them down. 9 days until kickoff for University of South Carolina's 2026 football season. I know a lot of people are excited. A lot of people are anxious. I know I'm anxious to get a look at some of the new players, new coaches, new scheme, all that good stuff. By the way, if you're interested in the scheme, Wes Mitchell from Gamecock Central and thebigspur.com over on three, where our internet home is, has an excellent, it's called Wednesdays with Wes. He released this column yesterday. I think he's going to do it every week. He just kind of dives into what to expect. It's probably the best article I've read on the subject as far as Kendall Briles and how it's applicable to South Carolina. We still have the special going on, $29.95. You won't pay again until we're talking about hopefully Kendall Briles' second offense at South Carolina next year. So check that out. Just wanted to give a shout out to Wes. Always appreciate good work. And he does a fantastic job both on the air and with us and Gamecock Central Live and also for the website. And he had a heck of a appearance over at the Florence Gamecock Club yesterday, from what I hear. So, shout out to Wes for the good work. We really enjoy working with him quite a bit. Released the final projected depth chart yesterday on thebigspur.com. You can obviously go read that. But and I was wrong. I immediately, Clayton White during the press conference, immediately, I was wrong about something. And, these projected depth charts are like Lenardi for March Madness. If I can bat 800, I'm pretty happy because, coaches have different ideas about how they're going to structure the depth chart. There's some psychology that's in there and all that good stuff. And then there's some positions that are just kind of up in the air because there's great competition. And, the coaches are, I'm sure they're down the road a bit with figuring it out. You got to be organized who's going to go out there first and all that, except a kicker. Obviously, that's an ongoing thing, but so I had George Wilson as the fourth defensive end because what I did this time was it without Peak and Stewart. Since they're not going to play against Kent, you need the projected depth chart for this game, Kent State, and so I had him as the fourth. It's actually Joquavius Dodd, second year guy from Eastside High School in Taylors, who was out in the spring, but. From what I've been told, and I think Jamie Bradford's gotten some intel on him. He's had a pretty good go of it. And he had some moments last year where he was really solid, in mop-up duty. I think he had a sack in one of those games, South Carolina State or something. He's a big guy, a developmental guy, like his cousin Kevin Dodd, that was at Clemson. Kevin went to Riverside. And Quay is probably ahead of where Kevin was at this point, but long-term guy who is going to be in the two deep, at least at the beginning. Still think George Wilson's going to have some pass rushing moments, but Quay Dodd's playing the run pretty well. They all are, according to Clayton White yesterday. So that's good. You got to set the edge you got to set the edge at edge, so to speak, these days and stop the run, especially in the SEC and against the 10 straight Power Four opponents the Gamecocks will play following Kent and Towson. So we'll see sort of how that goes. So what I'm going to do today, kind of a brief look at who's going to start, right? The depth chart, the oars, the backups, all that, who, and there's some guys on this list that I'm going to go over today that you feel really good about. Definitely being a starter. And that's come more into focus in the last few days since the second scrimmage. There's some battles that were sort of battles that could have maybe gone either way at the beginning of camp. And now it's pretty clear kind of how it's going to shake out. So we'll start with quarterback, and that's been obvious. It's Lenore Sellers. By the way, one of these influencer types on Instagram ranked the quarterback, or I guess it was X. My man Tristan took exception to it, ranked the quarterbacks in the SEC. Had guys, KJ Jackson from Arkansas, and oh, shoot, Austin Simmons was ahead of Lenore's was like 12th. Had Faizon Brandon from Tennessee 15th. I'm like, that ain't gonna end up that way, man. I don't know. I mean, maybe you just saw clips of the low lights from Lenoris last year because he had a lot of good plays. It was kind of the whole offense at times, him and Nick Harbor. So I don't know. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Was he what I would call good at times last year? No, absolutely not. But man, if you saw Austin Simmons in those first couple of games for Ole Miss last year, and who knows what Eli Drinkwitz and I think Garrett Riley's coaching quarterbacks out there now, who knows what they'll do with him? I mean, chances are Missouri will probably be pretty good. But I mean, and Lane Kiffin really liked him, but he didn't. He was, Wally Pipped, if there was ever a Wally Pip last year by Trinidad Shambles. So we'll see. I'm just glad Carolina doesn't have to play Missouri or Ole Miss this year. Kind of need a break from those teams, right? Because they usually hand Carolina an L or scare the you know what out of them. So not a bad year to skip the Missouri and Mississippi on the schedule. But yeah, Lenore Sellers at quarterback, that's pretty obvious. Cutter Woods has been the backup probably since the start and since the spring. That's pretty obvious as well. Running back, there was some question. I think Christian Clark made a run at it. I think the other guys in the room, all four of the other ones have had some moments, including Jabri Coleman, the newcomer from Penn State. But Matt Fuller is going to walk away with that. There was some question about it because of the blue jersey. My understanding is that was a very precautionary for him. They just don't want to get him banged up, but he's had a great offseason. Very explosive player. Kendall Briles talked about him yesterday in the press conference. So Matt Fuller will be your starting running back, barring injury, something like that. So, and that's the caveat with all of this. We're 9 days until kickoff, and you never know. There could be some last-minute scratches and change-ups. Wide receivers, I believe, as of now, and this could change. That's a highly competitive room, as we've talked, but I'm going to call the shot here. I think DJ Black, Mazio Bennett, and Nick Harbor in a three-wide receiver set. If they start in four wide, you can maybe throw, name your, probably Murph, maybe Tuggle. Maybe Sequel Patterson. But that's kind of the way it's looking. You got Black on the outside, obviously tremendous speed and good size. You have Nick Harbor on the other side. He's very motivated this year. The Mazio Bennett's had a fantastic offseason in the slot. That's where he's probably or definitely gonna or that's probably definitely, let's just not even use those terms. That's where he'll play, slot. Tight end Brady Hunt. Of course, Brady famously was the subject of internet hysteria after the scrimmage because, like a lot of players, he got shaken up. We see it during games every Saturday, guys. And it may look, it's concerning when you're up in the stands or when you're watching, and then guys are okay. It's football. He got shaken up, and then David Cloninger noticed he had a brace on. They asked Shane Beamer about it in the press conference, and Shane kind of said, well, we were laughing at him because he's got a bruise. And he's got a brace on for a bruise. So no big deal there. I think he'll start at tight end. If for some reason he doesn't, and I can't see that the bruise is going to keep him out, Mike Tyler would be the guy there at tight end. Now, the offensive line's a little bit tricky. Because I believe Randy Clements and Jason Smith with Peak tracking to come back by Mississippi State. What do you do? And we talked about this yesterday on the show. Do you Shedd Surratt's been working at left tackle since the spring, with Peak out, but he's worked at right as well. Where do you start him? He's been a really, really good, my understanding is, this offseason. Or I'm sorry, this preseason in camp. But for continuity's sake, to get him just super comfortable in his position to where you're not, when you come to Mississippi State time, you move him from left to right. Maybe there's some confusion. That's going to be a tough game. Do you start him at right and maybe start Seth Smith at left tackle? I don't know that Darius Gray is going to start. I think Darius Gray is going to play. It's supposed to be 97 degrees, according to the forecast I read today. So rolling your offensive lineman, it's a little unprecedented, but I don't know that it's not a terrible day to substitute liberally at times. Someone I did ask a fair question about tempo and subbing on the offensive line. I think what they do is by drives. Okay, this drive, and it's probably not pre-scheduled. Okay, this drive, man, how are you feeling? Okay, these guys kind of need a breather. We'll put these guys in for this drive. And then sometimes you don't, you get slowed down, like Kendall Bryles said yesterday, and you have to huddle. You could sub anyway then. The game flow dictates that. So that's just kind of, they're going to make every attempt to go up there and snap the ball, but it's not always as easy as that. And the rules changed, I think the Nick Saban rule or whatever, to where you can't do it as extreme as you used to. So there's that answer as far as are they going to be stopping and slowing themselves down and running offensive linemen in and out? No, but it's one where if it's almost 100 degrees, you probably do have an opportunity to sub. I think Darius Gray comes in and plays. Nolan Hay comes in and plays. And that brings us to, what's the starter? So my guess is this. I'm going to stick with Surratt at left tackle, Purvis at left guard, Carter Miller at center, Kojo Poku. I think that's a safe bet at right guard. And then right tackle, Dane Arnett, the Ferris State transfer. I'm going to stick with that. Now, am I very confident in that? No. I think it could be that they go with Surratt at right tackle, Kojo Poku at right guard, Miller at center. If it's not Hank Purvis, Nolan Hay at left guard, and then Seth Smith at right left tackle. So it's going to worry people because you're like, oh, it's unsettled. And it is with Peak out, but with him tracking to come back, what you're doing is you're just kind of preparing for that without, and you're building continuity for the future instead of like one guy going from, changing positions, and he's at a position that he played last year at Surratt at right tackle, but hasn't played in a while. And then you got a new guy next to him. I mean, it's just one of those continuity things that I think they may be considering based on some of the various lineups from practice and stuff. But, I'm going to stick with what I had, but let's make it clear. That one's one I could be dead wrong on. So that's it. So that's the offense. A lot of good potential there. I think with Sequel Patterson, he's worked his way in. I think he's going to play. You're going to get a chance to see him. I think that, Mazio Bennett will probably continue to be the starting slot receiver for the whole year, but you do have to be intrigued if Sequel is what we think. And he's a playmaker and he's adapted to play in the game at this level and in the offense and stuff that, it is a little exciting to think about Black, Harbor, and Patterson on the field at the same time. Those are three guys that if you miss them and they're downfield, they're gone. Two vertical threats and then Sequel's very elusive. I think Mazio can be too. The Mazio, we don't really know because our last, you saw Mazio Bennett as a freshman and he was good. Was he the best freshman receiver in the country? No, but he was the best freshman receiver on Carolina's roster and led that room in receptions and had some very big moments for a freshman. A good player, really good player. So I'm curious to see what kind of steps he's taken. Not from last year, because that's a given that he's got to play better than last year, but from 2024. I mean, he's an older guy. I mean, it's been a lot of times past, and you see his pictures that they put out. All the kids put the stuff out on social media now. He looks physically better and just a little more mature individual. So I think he'll have a fantastic year. But then there's something about Sequel Patterson that's very special, I think, as far as game-breaking ability. And then Donovan Murphy is still there. Nitro Tuggle's still there. You got Malik Clark, Jordan Ginnerman. I mean, there's a lot of guys. But those three, Black, Bennett, Harbor, I feel the best about. And then, add a little Sequel Patterson in there. It's like somebody I'm looking forward to seeing. I think everybody is. Over on the defensive side of the ball, very encouraged to hear Clayton White talk about Anthony Addison, the second-year player from Sumter yesterday. I'm fairly confident they're going to start him at one of the edge positions over Julian Walker, but Julian's going to play a whole lot and kind of like based on track record too, like, and that he's had a great offseason. They call him Ant. Julian Walker has had a great offseason too. One is a freshman, one's a second year guy. Sometimes you just start the second year guy. So I'm going to go ahead and project Anthony Addison to start there. The two tackles have kind of been, I guess, even with all the depth there, these have kind of been the guys since the spring, and Tomiwa Adorajaye and Gabriel Brownlow Dindy, but there's a ton of depth behind them, Kelby Collins, et cetera, Noah Clark, Troy Pikes, Jordan Thomas, Aiden Harris. You just got a lot of depth. Travion Roberts has got a lot of depth in that room. We talked about that on yesterday's episode. Linebacker's interesting because it's like, my gut feeling the whole offseason was Sean Murphy, the two Virginias. I call them the two Virginias because Sean Murphy's from Northern Virginia and Fred Johnson's from the 757, two state of Virginia kids. But then it's like, I switched it up on the projected depth chart. Justin Okoronkwo is just, it's like he's too good not to have a starter. Nothing against Sean Murphy. I think he's very good too. And then yesterday, I kind of got some feedback and I'm like, oh, maybe Sean Murphy does start. So Sean, I think Fred Johnson's going to start. Sean Murphy or Justin Okoronkwo, one, we'll get the start over there. I called Justin on the website yesterday, so I'll stick with it, but don't be surprised if that's one I'm wrong about as well. That said, it matters zero. It matters like Fred Johnson's number, which is zero. Because if you look at the snap counts the last 2 years, Bam Martin Scott, I mean, Demetrius Knight didn't start a lot of the games. I think he started half of them. Bam Martin Scott started, they only played two linebackers at a time. So, I mean, Justin Okoronkwo could be an outstanding player and technically not start half the games. But if you look at the snap counts, they rotate, and a lot of times that backup guy ends up playing more than the starter. And these three were the rotational guys last year. Justin Okoronkwo, Fred Johnson, Sean Murphy. And they started Justin and Fred most of those games too. I don't know that Sean may have started a couple. I need to go look that up. So anyway, I'm going to stick with Justin Okoronkwo, but I could be wrong there. Safety, a lot of people were worried about the safeties. Clayton White's not. I don't think I particularly am anymore. I think heading into the offseason, it was a question mark for me. But, I'm going to go ahead and be a Peyton Williams is an obvious starter. He's gotten much better, hopefully, this year. The good offseason, the great offseason, really, translates into more consistency playmaking-wise on the field because he's made plays. Just hadn't been that consistent, But a lot of guys have been like that through the years at defensive back, and then lo and behold, they're solid as a rock their senior season or last season or whatever. So I got Peyton there. David Busey or Jadeveon Currents. Now, of all the ones, with the exception of the offensive line, as far as like because like, look, back to the offensive line real quick. If Peak was there, it would, I'm pretty sure it'd be Peak, Purvis, Miller, Poku, Surratt. I mean, and that would have been a little easier. But because of that situation, that's in flux. But of the ones where freshmen are battling, the Sequel Patterson at slot, which I think Mazio's got that wrapped. Do you start Julian Walker or not? Darius Gray. The Jadeveon Currents, David Busey battle is the one that I kind of feel like I don't know, and it's just because it's nothing David Busey's done. Shane Beamer was praising him. He's a big part of the team. What David is a very physical, good tackler. He'll light you up. In coverage, he's improving, gotten better. I wouldn't call him a liability at this point. You have to watch it in the games to really get a sense of that. But he's a veteran. He knows where to go. It's his third year. But Jadeveon Currents has been making tons of plays, scrimmages, practices. I mean, an advanced football player. And that's what you to start a freshman at safety, you got to be that way. So like Nick Emenwore got out there as a freshman. Nick didn't start, and somebody got hurt. I don't remember who. And then Nick took over for the rest of the year, the rest of his career. So yeah, that one, Jazavian could, and if not, he'll be in the game early and often. But yeah, I stuck with the projection of David Busey there. Now, I was a little different than some of the other folks with the Quasheed Scott, Gerald Kilgore battle. Quasheed. It's Quasheed. Yeah, I'm a dumb butt. Quasheed's, and I read that on the media guide yesterday. I'm like, good God, I've been calling him Quasheed. So, yeah, look, Kent, nobody's perfect, folks. Quasheed Scott for Marion, and I wrote a piece on the website, the next PD baller, Marion, South Carolina, Kentucky transfer. He was recruited, out of the portal to be the nickel. That's they targeted a nickel. They considered a safety, right? But they didn't find anybody they really liked better than the ones they got. But Quasheed Scott was kind of like Carter Miller. That was the center. This was the nickel, And in the spring, I think everybody kept saying he's adapting to the system, he's learning the system. And it is different than Brad White's system at Kentucky, Mark Stoops' system at Kentucky. Of course, Brad White's now at Florida. But when we got back, when everybody got back from summer, all of a sudden you started hearing his name. And then the last two scrimmages, he's been all over the place. My feedback on him has been through the roof good as far as his performance in practice and his improvement he's made. And Gerald Kilgore has improved a lot as well, and obviously has been a playmaker when he's been out there. They're both going to play a whole lot. Gerald Kilgore is a team leader and all that. But I just went with Quasheed Scott because, he's just played outstanding in the scrimmages, and that matters when you're talking about a starter. I mean, now what I don't know is when coaches grade the film. When they grade the film, you made a lot of plays, but you made these mistakes. Gerald did not, and Gerald made some plays as well. Maybe Gerald gets the start, but I'm just going to go with Quasheed Scott there. And then the corners are pretty obvious. You got Vakari Swain and Judge Collier as your two corners. People ask about Ethan Johnson, the App State transfer. Clayton White said yesterday he's told Luke Day he's going to go to the hole for a week, and that means he's just going to be conditioning, getting back in shape. He said he was job searching, so he was not in an NFL training camp. And so there's that. I think Shane Beamer, was not being vague or misleading when he said he could play no plays. He could play 70. You just don't know. And a guy like that, if he doesn't just pick up the system super fast and the calls, I mean, at corner, you don't want that. You don't want a guy that doesn't quite get it because all it takes is for Kent State to call the right play at the right time, and he goes the wrong direction. A guy's wide open, and you don't catch him. If it's Darrealist Clark from Kent State, you're definitely not catching him. And if you're in a game where it's a game, right, where it's competitive, that could cost you. The idea is to win the game. Everybody's groaning out there. They're thinking, oh, it's going to be another nail biter like Old Dominion. I would be shocked if that was the case. But if the game, if you're up 20, 30 points, and you throw him out there and he makes a mistake, they score a touchdown. Yeah, you lose the shutout, but who cares? Or they score, but he learns from it. He gets better by playing. So that's one of the reasons that I always say, or I don't always say it. Coaches will tell you this. It's good to blow people out because you get a chance to play guys in games. You don't have preseason games or scrimmages, and so you get better at football by playing football against other, opponents in a game. And so throwing him out there, man, that's one that, if you can afford to put him out there, and maybe he does pick it up quick. He's a veteran, plus an older guy, so he should. But just you get him all the reps he can get. A lot of these guys in the two deep, It would be important. And then everybody feels good the next week. And then they maybe feel even better because everybody got to play against Towson and you go into Mississippi State with a good week of practice and start the gauntlet, right? So that's what's going on there. This is a good lineup, man. There's a lot of guys in this lineup that are that are not necessarily players that you can look back on multiple years and go, they were dominant here, there, or yonder. They've all had their moments. Everybody from Lenora Sellers to, whoever starts on the offensive line to David Busey, to they've all got some things, some improving to do. But many of them are close. And if the vast majority of these starters go out and play like everybody thinks they are, I think this will be a really solid starting lineup on offense and defense. So we'll see what happens, but you like the potential of this roster, just like you have for a while. So we'll see. But that's it. Kind of the news portion of that is that, for those of you out there that maybe you don't read the websites, you just kind of listen on YouTube or podcasts. That's fine too. We love you just as much as we love the website, folks. We're a multimedia organization that wants to reach everybody. You may not have picked up on Matt Fuller. Maybe you thought, there would be some, but it's Matt Fuller at running back. Maybe you weren't sure if Peyton Williams would be the starting safety. He's the starting safety. And then at edge, of course, with Dylan Stewart out, would it be Julian Walker or not? That's Anthony Addison's getting that one. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that, the Quasheed Scott thing at nickel. So there's some newsy stuff in there, but that's kind of how it's looking, or how I think it will be next Saturday. So anyway, appreciate everybody listening this morning to Coffee with JC Sherbert. Let me refer to myself in the third person. We got Perry Orr today on Inside the Gamecocks. It's Thursday. Mad Dog and I'll be along, Jamie Bradford, all of the people in the McKellar Enterprises chat box. And this has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. I'm out. Holla.